This is The Bottom Line on Rhode Island Public Radio. I'm Dave Fallon, along with Providence Business News editor Mark Murphy.
Hey there, Dave.
And joining us, our guest, is Mr. John Simmons, Executive Director of the nonprofit Rhode Island Public Expenditure Council. John, welcome back.
Good afternoon. Thank you for having me back.
There was an expectation that action on the proposed truck tolls for Rhode Island will come pretty early in this General Assembly session, which has just started officially. What's your sense of things?
It is our understanding that probably, hopefully next week, there might be a proposal coming forward from the General Assembly to be hopefully acted upon prior to the break that they'll have in February. The expectation is that the parties will come to some sort of solution or resolution of the outstanding issues, and there'll be a proposal put before the General Assembly. It's still outstanding whether tolls will be a part of it or some other type of arrangements, but that's still pending now, and it's amongst the three parties, the Senate, House, and the governor's office.
So, John, RIPEC on a regular basis looks at the state's position vis-a-vis debt, per capita, per $1,000 of income. And so what's an interesting part of it's become a really interesting part of this discussion is how should these infrastructure projects be paid for? I mean, everyone agrees our bridges and roads need help. There are tolls, now Garvey bonds, which are federal capital project bonds. Are there other options? What really makes the most sense?
Well, that's what is actually being debated now is what's the best approach. There is no doubt to do the work that the governor is proposing, advancing, upfronting more money to get savings on doing work that are on, fair bridges before they fall to not sufficient bridges. The spending more money up front saves it in the long run. But to do so, there's no revenue stream that comes across that does not require some form of borrowing. And the borrowing is about the same, whether tolls or not tolls in it. So the question is, what do you need to borrow and what's the best stream of revenue? If you look at the creditworthiness, the tolling is a little bit less creditworthy as the Garvey bonds are. We have a history of Garvey issuing debt in advance of federal funding, and we have a stream out now that can be refinanced, which is the governor's proposal, and then there's a new source of revenue funding that has come in from what they call the FAST Act that the federal government just enacted. So there is a question now how best to provide the debt service to pay for the borrowing that we all agree that you're going to need to do the work that the governor is seeking. Tolling, generally speaking, is because of the complexity of tolling. You need to normally have a toll higher than the amount to which the cost of the borrowing is. The debt service payment, normally the one that they're proposing, is about 150% of the actual amount to pay debt service. So if it's a $40 million debt service payment, you have to toll in excess of around $60 million. Our concern on tolling is, on the way it is being constructed, only on certain size vehicles. The tolling hits a very small segment of the industrial sectors of Rhode Island.
The large trucks.
The large trucks. But it's not just the large trucks, the 18-wheelers, but it's where they pass on that cost. They are picking up, delivering products from our manufacturing base in Rhode Island. Also the warehousing, and those are two industrial sectors that would be bearing the lion's share of the cost of tolling. And we believe when one looks at the REMI study that was produced recently, there are a loss of jobs in the manufacturing area as well as warehousing and logistics because of the implication of the incident of the toll upon that industry, because the truckers will pass that cost on. And it's at least half of the people in this tolling area will actually have to be local people who will be paying that tolling amount. So it does have what they refer to as a pyramiding effect on the tax structure of Rhode Island.
And what about the is there an offset in the construction jobs that would be back because of the...
Remembering the tolling only is paying for the work. If there's another way of paying for it other than tolling, you have the high side, the positive of the construction jobs. They will come if you provide the funding. The question is, where do you get the funding from? If you take it from tolling, you're taking it from a local source as well as those who come through the state.
Now, is anyone talking about the uncertainty in Washington? I mean, it wasn't that long ago that the Federal Department of Transportation was unfunded, other than a couple of months in advance. Mm-hmm. Is there any sense that people are worried that the Garvey bonds, the program might be somehow altered, that the money might not come in? Is anyone thinking about that?
Yes, there was a 5-year. A period that has been authorized by Congress. So at least for 5 years, you have both the original money and the new money has been at least solidified for 5 years.
You're listening to The Bottom Line on Rhode Island Public Radio. Our guest is Mr. John Simmons of the Rhode Island Public Expenditure Council. What about alternatives to floating bonds, perhaps the pay-as-you-go suggestion that perhaps you raise taxes, a diesel tax or gasoline taxes in general?
But to accomplish the task of doing the work in advance and saving money, if you believe in the governor's proposal, it saves in excess of $900 million by doing it as she's proposing it earlier, you need to borrow money. There is no pay-as-you-go to provide the funding up front to do that.
It's just not enough.
You would have to raise revenue tolling probably $200-300 million a year to pay for it. And then after a while, there would be excess money. So the question is, how do you meet up the needs for the advancement, the save, do the projects earlier, get the bridges sufficient, and at the same time have a structured payout over time?
Moving to another subject, John, it's reported Rhode Island was seriously in the running for General Electric's headquarters, moving from Fairfield, Connecticut now to Boston. Can Rhode Island realistically compete for something like that at that level?
It seems that Rhode Island actually did. They made the top eight listings for GE. GE is a national company. It's an international company. It's got such a great reputation. It's surprising to me there were only eight states that were still remaining in the hunt for GE. Rhode Island happened to be one of those eight. It made the list quite well. So I think it illustrates that Rhode Island is able to compete and compete well. The question is whether we could compete on the level of GE or do we look at other types of competition? And I think that's where Rhode Island is looking now. We'll be seeing a Brookings report coming out next week that'll have, I think, a game plan for that, who we seek and how we do it. I think, yes, Rhode Island can. I think now we have a change environment.
Any chance of getting some spinoff business from GE, even though they're going to be headquartered in Boston?
If you believe the press release from GE, the answer is yes. And if you look at the numbers that have been talked about, not all of the workers that are from the Fairfield headquarters have been assigned yet to Boston, and there are others that are in the mix that potentially Rhode Island could get. I think it would be, you know, for Rhode Island's purposes, that would be a very much of a winning, you know, combination if we got some of the GE workers to come.
As we wrap up quickly, what would you like to see the General Assembly accomplish for this session?
I think, again, hold the taxation where we are today. If it can be lowered in varying areas, it would be appropriate. I think the unemployment insurance and the amount that people pay for unemployment is one of the issues that is ripe. We have a 1992 schedule for unemployment that needs to be revamped, which would mean a reduction in the cost of employers within the state without a benefit change or without putting the trust fund at risk. I think there's a variety of other items. I think education is one of the areas that seriously has to be examined and how we provide education within the state. Charter schools need to be answered. The career and tech schools funding needs to be answered as well. So if you look at it, keeping the taxes, doing something on unemployment and the property tax and education are probably going to be the key ingredients for this session.
Okay, we'll have to wrap things up. John Simmons of the Rhode Island Public Expenditure Council has been our guest. Thanks for coming in.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
And thanks, as always, to Mark Murphy of Providence Business News.
Great to be here, Dave.
It's The Bottom Line. I'm Dave Fallon. This is Rhode Island Public Radio.
Major funding for The Bottom Line is provided by the Rhode Island Foundation, using philanthropy to move Rhode Island forward. Details at rhodeislandfoundation.org.